Yes. Good morning to all. I'd like to welcome you all here this morning, and in particular the people from St. Luke's, Paul, Claire, Jean and Sue. They'll be conducting the full service one of the three in the Seasons of Creation theme. The first one was water last week, you'd remember, and this theme is the cosmos, and the next one is the flora and fauna. All the welcomes and acknowledgement of country will be dealt with either on the screen or by Paul and the team.
So let's engage in an acknowledgement of country. This is filmed on the Barwon River and the background. Have some words of gathering, which I invite you to share in. Triune God, embrace all of time. Creator God, living Christ, Holy Spirit, as you came upon the early church,
come to us this morning, opening us to transformation and divinity.
And we sing our first hymn, which is O Lord of Every Shining Constellation. The words are wonderful. We're using a traditional tune, which hopefully you'll know.
Serve your holy
It's really good to be with you and really good to be part of this series of services where we'll be moving, where teams are moving around the three churches. That song, I think, has got wonderful words, and even though the tune is perhaps slow, I hope you saw the beauty of the words, which remind us that we're part of God's creation. Let's share now in our call to worship.
We join with all creation in worship.
We join with the glittering galaxies high in the heavens in reflecting the wonder and splendour of God.
We join in celebration with the furthest reaches of the universe.
We join with nebula, nova, and giant red stars in praising God.
We pray for that part of the universe called Earth to pulse with the rhythm of God's presence
and celebrate God's glory on this blue planet.
We join in the dance of thanksgiving with millions of living species.
The turtle, the frog and the possum, the emu and the giant earthworm, the ant and the dragonfly.
We are part of the creation.
We're all part of God's creation.
We're all part of the universe.
We give thanks that we can share in creation's dance of praise and wonder.
We give thanks that we can share in creation's dance of praise and wonder.
We name silently or aloud creatures or parts of the universe that move us deeply.
Stars.
Oceans.
Koalas.
We give thanks that we can share in creation's dance of praise and wonder.
We give thanks that we can share in creation's dance of praise and wonder.
Now, if you would take the symbol, the star that you were given at the door, hold it in your hand for a few moments and recall a time when you were caught up in wonder and amazement at God's creation. Perhaps staring up at the night sky in the midst of the outback, or sitting on a beach in Tasmania watching the dancing southern lights. The person next to you and share what you've just been reflecting upon.
sharing about, but that picture on there is of the Southern Lights, taken from a beach in Tasmania. Don't know, has anyone seen the Southern Lights?
I've seen the Northern Lights.
The Aurora Borealis. That's the Aurora Australis. Latin with an Australian accent. We'll talk more in a minute. Let's have the next slide. We are conscious of the blessing of being part of God's universe.
We give thanks for special moments of wonder.
We remember and rejoice.
Praising God that we are part of the complexity and beauty of your creation.
Let's come before God in prayer. Let's pray. Creator God, sustaining the creation that surrounds us, we confess that our failures in caring for the world and for all that lives. Give us the courage to seek your forgiveness. We pray for the earth that is alive with your glory. May we cherish and never take for granted the beauty and bounty you have gifted us. We ask that you will strengthen, restore, and inspire our hearts today. Set us free from our bonds to selfishness and indifference. Set us free by granting your peace. Help us to become a shining light of grace and a voice for justice. Creator and Redeemer, help us to be agents of care, justice, and hope. Amen. Loving God, assure us of your grace. Forgive us of all our sins and grant us the capacity to amend our ways and the covenanting peace to grow and follow in Christ's way. And emboldened by our encounter with you, may we continue on our journey of faith, learning to be more Christ-like, gladdened and heartened by Christ's example, and resting safe in the assurance of your enduring love for all creation. In Jesus' name, amen. We respond by singing the Canticle of Daniel.
And hills, oh bless.
fountains and springs. Oh, bless the Lord. And you rivers and seas. Oh, bless the Lord. To God be highest glory and praise.
That's become a bit of an anthem for this three series of services. Well done, that was brilliantly led. Thank you. Now, I have an experiment which doesn't work very well. But I just wanted to show, and if there'd been, and it doesn't matter who's here, young or old, the reality of how amazing the world is. And one of the things that amazes me is sometimes just simple things. Now, if you were able to see this, which you won't be able to, this prism, if I shine light on it, what will it do? Yeah, it will. And if you actually can look at my black thing, which you can't, you would see that it's not just white. It's different colours. Yeah. So you think about that. Just think about that. You've looked at a pond, haven't you, where the light's struck it and it's broken into the spectrum. To think that white light, like this, you sort of think it's kind of just one thing, but it's not. It's a whole series of different colours, different, it's actually different wavelengths, but we won't go into all of that. And when the white light strikes the prism, it breaks it up. And to me, that just shows that the world's full of amazing things. And we need to just stop and just recognise how amazing even simple things can be. And that's kind of what our theme is today. We're wanting to encourage you, we're encouraging ourselves to give time to stop and wonder at this amazing thing that we're a part of, which is the creation, the cosmos. We're going to listen now to a couple of scripture readings. In between them, there'll be a video, I hope, which is, you can just watch it. But it's someone wondering and being amazed. And we'll listen now to a couple of passages, one from Psalm 8 and the other from Colossians 1.
O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for? Yet you've made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honour. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea. Whatever passes along the paths of the seas, O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Whose name I do not know. Thank you for my life. I forgot how big. Thank you. Thank you for my life.
Joe? Didn't you drink any water for yourself, Joe?
That's for you.
Wow. From Colossians 1:15-20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Your word, O Lord, is a light to our feet.
Let's pause in prayer. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm going to walk around now, so I hope the headset thing's on. The whole idea of the seasons of creation, in a sense, is very old. I mean, the church has always valued God as creator. But having a particular time in the life of the church when we remember how we are part of creation, that we should care for it, is a fairly recent innovation. In 1989, the Ecumenical Patriarch, that is the head of the Eastern Orthodox Church, Patriarch Dimitrios, had a day to pray for the natural environment, and he named September the 1st as that day. And then a bit later, the World Council of Churches, in, I think going back to the early 1990s, came up with this idea of having a season of creation from the 1st of September to the feast day of St. Francis of Assisi, which is October the 4th. And churches across the world have taken that up, including the Catholic Church. And in 2019, Pope Francis encouraged the Catholic Church to take up the season of creation. So that's how come we are doing this today. We're following something that's not just local, it's worldwide. Now, I want you to think a bit today and think about, perhaps we can have the first slide. Looking up into the night sky. Who's ever had that experience? There's a lady at St. Luke's who's told me how she has gone out onto... She took her grandchildren and took a big rug and they laid out on the grass and looked up at the sky and they watched all sorts of things happening They looked up at the Milky Way. They looked at satellites flying across. They looked at meteorites crashing into the ground and just had a wonderful time. I just have a really warm feeling about that, this lady with her grandchildren. The other day, Jenny and I were at Roger and Rhonda's for the meditation group. And after we'd finished, Jenny and I, because we only lived two blocks away from each other and seems a bit not good for the environment to drive, we walked. And so we walked up and it was a cold night. So this was a couple of Tuesdays ago. But it was it wasn't totally clear. There was a little bit of mist in the sky, a little bit of cloud. Next slide, please. And what we saw was this. The moon surrounded by this corona or halo. Did any of you see that? You did. And I was just amazed. We just stood there looking at it. We tried to take a picture because you can't. It never comes out very well. But it was just breathtaking. Now, I understand the way it works is because there's just a very light, sort of array of cloud in the sky, that where the moon's bright enough from the light that it bounces off the sun, you know, the light comes from the sun, bounces off the moon, comes to us. The light's strong enough that in the middle, it just penetrates the cloud and you can't see the cloud. The cloud's there, you can't see it. But what you end up with is this amazing, amazing halo. I want you just to think for a moment. I'll just grab my notes so I don't stray too far from them. About experiences that you might have had like this. Now, let me show you some more pictures. So let's have a look at there's planet Earth. Planet Earth. That's a picture I think taken from one of the Apollo spaceships orbiting the moon. It sort of puts things in perspective, doesn't it? Just there's, and that's our closest heavenly body. And yet, this beautiful place, the Earth, is, you know, relatively small. And perhaps the next slide. There it is, the Earth. Then we've got some pictures from the James Webb Telescope. Oh, actually, that's the Milky Way. We'll just keep going through these. I should look at my list, shouldn't I? More pictures of the Milky Way. Now, James Webb. Have you seen these? This amazing telescope that was only launched, I think about a year ago, and it's been only just recently been sending back pictures. And because, of course, it's way out there in space and it's got amazing technology, it can penetrate so far. It can see so far beyond what we've seen before. I mean, these things that we're seeing pictures of course, took place millions of years ago because the light takes that long to come here. So these are clouds somewhere way out in outer space, which are often seen to be the birthing place of new stars. So just keep going through them. That just amazing clouds and light, galaxies. Now, play them the sound for this. This is the sound of a black hole. Don't ask me how they get that sound and record it. I don't know. That's probably a circuit, so that'll do. It'll just keep going round and round if we let it. I don't know what the next one is. I think it's more galaxy stuff, isn't it? Oh, no, that's right. Just think about those things and think about how they impact on you. You've seen those sort of pictures. You've laid there lying up at the sky, or you've gone for a walk and you've looked up. And what are the sort of words that come to mind when you think about those sort of things? Awesome. What other words? Mind-boggling. Someone said it at St. Luke's, they felt very small. And if you're not having a good day, you might feel really isolated. Like, what are we? Who are we? There's another picture. I must put it in when we use it next week. I've just realised that I should have used. There's a picture that was taken by one of the probes that went to Pluto of the Earth. And it's like a little tiny speck that might have been a mistake on the photograph. You know, so but some other words I thought about. Mystery. Looking at something and thinking how amazing and mysterious all this is. Perhaps even a little fearful. Maybe is a word that comes to mind. I mean, science has helped us understand things. But let's be frank. Science has only given us a little taste of understanding how this all fits together. It's just skimming over the surface. Was it Newton who said something about picking up rocks on the shore of the sea? You know, we're only just getting an idea. Did you say?
I was thinking Dr. Julius Sumner-Miller.
Why is it so? Why is it so? Why is it so? And we've got some wonderful answers. I mean, that we can show you that picture shows you how amazing our technology is. But it just is just skimming the surface of the universe. Now, I grew up, so I'm in my early 60s. So I think I've worked out that I was conceived about the time that Sputnik was launched. Yeah, we won't go any further than that. So I'm very much a space-age child and person. And so I grew up, a lot of you did too. And we would, with the Apollo rockets and things. Sue was just saying how she heard, I didn't know this until about 5 minutes ago, went and watched one of the space shuttles being launched at Cape Canaveral. Yeah, at Kennedy Space Base at Cape Canaveral, Florida. And some of you might, I mean, maybe some of you watched Neil Armstrong walking on the moon. Yeah, yeah. I can remember being in a school, it was at Lara, and we were all, there wasn't anywhere, we didn't have a hall or anything, we were all sort of crammed into the passageway. It was classic 1960s government school, a whole sort of series of rooms and a long passageway down the middle. That was the architecture. We were all sitting there and we watched this sort of fuzzy picture, and apparently that was Neil Armstrong landing on the moon. But I was also influenced by sort of science fiction. So, did any of you ever watch Lost in Space? Well, I've thought about it since. Some of those shows were pretty ordinary, really. I mean, what do? They landed on a planet, they got out, and they shot things with laser guns. Typical human behaviour. Typical human behaviour. Even Doctor Who, with his sonic screwdriver, seems to always run away from something that he's just blown up. You know, we have a habit, don't we, as human beings, of sometimes dealing with things in a not exactly caring way. We exploit things. So as we start to think about going to the asteroids and mining them, that seems okay, but perhaps we need to think about the ethics of that before we actually do it. The psalm, what's the next slide? I can't remember. No more. Oh, I thought there was a couple more. There you go. That's all right. Oh yeah, that's it. That's the end. We'll go back to one. Go back one slide. That'll do. Just to that beautiful picture of the Milky Way. I think that's... No, go back one more. There we are. Something like that. Just to have us before. But yeah, that's a lovely one. Let's sit with that. Now we go to the Psalm, Psalm 8. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. When I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honour. You've given them dominion over the works of your hands. This wonderful, wonderful psalm has some elements in it that I just want to quickly unpack. First of all, it affirms that heaven, the moon, the stars are all established by God. Now, science is constantly teaching us a little bit about how these things came to be. But as Christians, we believe that what we see is a result of the expression of the love of God. All creation is an expression of the triune God's love for all time and eternity. If any of you have read any of C.S. Lewis's works, say The Magician's Nephew, in The Magician's Nephew, Aslan, the lion, the Christ figure, sings the world into existence out of love. Sings the cosmos into existence out of love. Brings about beauty and wonder and awe out of love for all. So that's the first thing we affirm. That this creation we're a part of is God's good work and it's expression of God's love. The second thing is that we human beings have a place in it and that God cares for us and values of us, each and every one of us. I mean, God sent his Son, Christ Jesus, to reconcile and redeem us. So we have a place. And that place actually includes responsibility. Because the next word that occurs in that, the word that occurs in that text is, it talks about human beings being valued by God. What are mortals that you care for them? Later it says, you have given them dominion over the work of your hands. Now this word dominion has been abused. It's been understood to mean control, exploit, dominate. But that's not actually what it means. It comes from Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, where it appears. And it refers to rule, but rule in the best sense of the word. Rule in caring for the subjects. So we've said some wonderful things have been said about the Queen, about the way she cares. She's cared for others, the duty she undertook in all her life. Well, that's the kind of rule or dominion that is meant here. It's not about exploiting and controlling and dominating. It's about looking after and serving and having a responsibility to care for. And that's part of our place. We have a responsibility. So this text reminds us of three things. The heavens, the moon, the stars are all established by God. Human beings have a place in it and are valued by God. But also we have a responsibility to care. As I was saying to the St. Luke's people last week, I've tried to think of a way of summarising or winding up what we're reflecting on. And I came to those words of Charles Wesley's hymn, Love Divine or Love's Excelling. Do you know what the last line is? Can you remember? Lost in wonder, love and praise. Lost in wonder, love and praise. Wonder. There's a place for wonder. Just to sit and be amazed at the stars or the fact that a prism turns white light into a whole series of colours. Love. All creation is here because of the love of God. And we have a place to care for it and to love each other and love creation as God loves us. And praise, to acknowledge that all things living should give praise to God, should bless the Lord. Amen. Let's make an affirmation, which will be on the screen in a second. And it's an affirmation about some of the things we've been talking about. So the suggestion is that women read some sections and men the others. So maybe, Sue, could you lead off for the women? Because we need a leader. So yeah, off you go.
We believe that God creates all things, renews all things, and celebrates all things.
We believe Earth is a sanctuary, a sacred planet filled with God's presence, a home for us to share with our King.
We believe that God suffered and died on the cross for all
risen Jesus is the Christ, the core of creation, reconciling all things to God, renewing all creation, and filling the universe.
We believe the Spirit renews life in creation, groans in empathy with the suffering of creation, and waits with us for the rebirth of creation.
We believe that with Christ we will rise, and with Christ we will celebrate a new creation.
Let's celebrate by singing a hymn which has a very Australian kind of flavour to its words, When Wide Sky Rolls Down. Flash term at St Luke's for the notices, we call it sharing the journey. Although we do share the journey sometimes, we share something of our life's journey of faith. I've got two things I just want to quickly share with you, and I know Roger has other things that pertain to this community. I'd forgotten I'd put that slide there. But I will mention that. If we go back to that slide, can we go back to the Queen? This is just me indulging myself a little tiny bit. My mother, who is 96 and was born about 2.5 weeks before the Queen, served in the same unit that the Queen did. She was trained in the same unit. She didn't work alongside the Queen. They were all doing, different things. But she was at the same training college as the Queen, learning how to drive trucks and things. Which, and if you've seen my mum, who's sort of flat tall, it's very hard to imagine her driving a truck, but she did. And she's still going. So that's just my little indulgence. I forgot I had that up for the last week after the Queen had died. We've got a couple of things happening at St Luke's that you might be interested in. We have, which is kind of the final part of this Seasons of Creation thing. Our Messy Church is having a blessing of the animals. That's going to be interesting, folks. But 2 o'clock on the afternoon of October 2nd. And some folk from different churches are always saying, look, we'll come along. So it'll be just an afternoon tea outside with a short service of blessing for animals. And there'll be no doubt.
Outside, Paul.
Yeah, that's the plan. And the human beings as well. But we have said to people that animals need to be restrained. perhaps some of their owners do too. And the other thing that I do really want to encourage you to not only know about but to share the news about is that we've been able to organise with the Alliance for Gambling Reform, which is an organisation which the Uniting Church strongly supports. We've been able to organise a forum with Tim Costello. You realise that Geelong is a black spot when it comes to gambling. And so how do we respond to that? So Tim's very willingly said, look, I'll come and I'll share in a forum. So he's coming to our place, to St Luke's, at 2 o'clock on October 9. Not only go along, but also tell your friends about it. And the other thing I'm sharing about, which I think you probably got info about as well, is that the there's the Australian Religious Response to Climate Change, which I suspect your environment group is aware of. They're having a multi-faith service at Christchurch Anglican Church on October the 13th. Roger.
Thanks, Paul. Just wanted to affirm and more personally welcome the four people from St Luke's on all our behalves, and also sort of be grateful for the three-part theme of water number one, which you might remember started last week, and this one number two with cosmos, and the following week will be the flora and fauna of this creation series, seasons of creation, and how fortunate we are to have people from other churches, as people from our church going to other churches, the two other churches as well involved. Also want to sort of mention and encourage people to be thinking what an opportunity we're being provided with different people presenting and the different terms they use and even the different backgrounds on the words of the songs. Just provides us with an opportunity to think. The Welcome to Country with a beautiful shot of the Barwon. Also, I'd like to say a welcome to Bianca, which is great to see Bianca. Word of applause. Yes. So thanks for your presence and your music. Appreciate that. And also, just a reminder to everybody, a couple of people have mentioned they're not sure where the Coots are and the Nevilles are, and most people would be aware, I think, that they're still in the UK and enjoying their time. So... And Chris Howard, sorry, and Chris, the three of them are all in the UK at the moment. Thanks for that.
We're now having prayers of the people. Let us pray. Let us pray. Creator God, we give thanks for the earth and its seasons, and in particular the gifts of this season, spring. We give thanks for the sun warming the lengthening spring days and gardens and parks ablaze with blossom and colour. We give thanks for the wonder of all that you have caused to be, from the wings of the butterfly to the immensity of spiral galaxies. May we never take your gift of creation for granted. May we never stop learning how to be good stewards of your gifts. We pray for all those charged with creating change. Change in attitude, understanding, priorities, and intent. We pray for political leaders to hold true to their calling as carers for our world, that they consider always the long-term implications of decisions for the world and its people. We give thanks that through creation you provide nourishment for body and soul. We give thanks for and pray for all who tend the fruits of the earth and sustain our existence through food and drink, as well as those who nourish our emotional lives through friendship, family, companionship, laughter, and joy. We honour before you individuals who have helped shape our living out of the Christian faith, particularly saints whose insight and example we value. We bring to you our silent prayers concerning burdens we carry for ourselves and for those we know and love. We pray for those living in war zones, for those living in countries affected by climate change, and those living in poverty. We pray for the young and the vulnerable in every community, and we uphold before you in positions, and sorry, we uphold before you all in positions of trust. We remember before you those who have died in recent days, that they may rise to eternal life and that we may so live on earth that we are all prepared for meeting you in our lives. Amen. And we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. It's on the screen. Our Father in
The reason that we have the Lord's Prayer in Arabic on the screen is because we often have people in our congregation who are part of a refugee community that we touch base with, and I know you touch base with, but they're often there and they speak Arabic. At least that's the lingua franca, because many of them speak different languages. So that's the reason it's there. Your offering, apparently you collect them. We're still not doing that. We haven't quite done that. We just bring it forward, but your offering will be received. Loving God, there is so much to give thanks for. Help us to respond to your goodness to us with lives that reflect the way of Christ. Take and use our gifts, take and use our lives. Bless them and bless us. In Christ's name, Amen. You would have received as you came in, one of these, which is just a little bit of a resource to use in your own quiet time and prayer time, picking up some of the themes of today. We sing now our final hymn, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore You.
Joyful, joyful, we adore you, God of love.
friends, sisters and brothers, go into the world in the power of the Spirit. In all things, at all times, remember that Christ is with you. Make your life your worship to the praise and glory of God. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit rest and remain with you all, both now and forever. Amen.